we offer a warm welcome to each of you to Christian Crusaders Palm Sunday worship service. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
On that first Palm Sunday, the crowd who followed Jesus sang their hosannas. 5 days later, they shouted, "Crucify him!" Why did they change their tune? We'll discuss that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. On this Palm Sunday, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you came not only to be our Savior, but also to be our King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Help us always to remember that our eternal King is the one who died on the cross that we might live forever. Bless our program this day and use us in your kingdom. That's our prayer that we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing? You're untying that colt." They answered, as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, a mob of people can be very frightening. You never know how they will react. If they like what you're doing, they'll support you. But if they don't like what you're doing, they may turn on you, and then look out. No one understood this better than Jesus. On a Sunday, they praised him as their king and cried out, "Hosanna." On Friday, they shouted, "Crucify him." Why did they change their tune? That's a theme for my sermon today. It had been a full day. Jesus had entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey. The crowds were now gathered around him, and this was their song. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They surrounded him. They threw branches before the donkey, and some of them even took off their cloaks and laid them on the road. Why did Jesus let them do this? He was not prone to ask for attention. But this day, I believe with all my heart, he wanted to get the people's attention. He wanted to get this message across to them. I am the King. In fact, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He wanted them to know that he had come to build a kingdom. But he also wanted them to know that their kingdom, his kingdom, was not of this world. And the enemy that he was fighting was not any political leader, but rather it was Satan himself, who had all of humanity bound in his hands. And Jesus said, I have come to set you free, and if you trust me, you will be free indeed. That's why we had a Palm Sunday. But now it was Palm Sunday evening, and he had had a busy day. His disciples were also weary, and they had returned to Bethany. I think of it sometimes as I saw the military people waiting outside of Baghdad here some days ago. They were soon to meet the enemy. That was a weary time for them, and it was a weary time for our Lord. Well, he could have turned to that 34th Psalm and meditated on this particular verse, My times are in your hands. Deliver me from mine enemies. And so the battle would begin on Monday of that holy week. It would be a week that would be filled with such things as betrayal, denial, arrest, beating, crucifixion. And the same people again who sang his praises on Sunday were now demanding his crucifixion. Once more, why would they change their tune? And this I am convinced of. Before you can claim Jesus as the King of your life, you must know him as the Savior of your soul. That's the point of my sermon today, friend. If there's any one thing that you might take from these words, it's this. Before you can claim Jesus as your King, you have to know him as your Savior. The Jews wanted a king like David. They say this in the text. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. They wanted a David who would go out and defeat the political enemy and set them free from their captivity. Now they wondered if Jesus could be that person, and when he wasn't that person, he meant nothing to them. So now he was in the category of doing whatever they had to with him, but they didn't want to have him around. Jesus said to them very clearly, I am not that kind of a king. My kingdom is not of this world. I have come to build a kingdom that is going to be eternal. Now, he had been in this conversation with the Jewish people before. He had said to them, if you will follow me, you will be free. And they replied, we are free. We are children of Abraham. We belong to God. It's all automatic. We are the children of God, chosen from the day of Abraham. Listen to these words that Jesus had with the Jews earlier. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave had no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants. You are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. See, the answer is clear. Before you claim Jesus as the King of your life, you must know Him as your Savior, realize that you are completely dependent upon Him, and without Him, there is no salvation. That made the angry mob demand His death. "He has nothing to offer us," they said. "We don't need a Savior. We are self-sufficient ourselves. We are the children of Abraham." In fact, He was their enemy. He had crushed the dreams that they had had for a lifetime. So that's the story of that first Palm Sunday and the days that followed. So Christ Jesus speaks to the world today, friend. And again, He's anxious to say to us, your real enemy is Satan. He holds you in captivity. Do we really believe that? Do we really think that He is our enemy? Jesus goes on to say that Satan has separated us from our Father. We are sinners, and as a result, God can have nothing to do with us until that sin is forgiven. So what does He do? He comes into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. He suffers and dies as a payment for our sins at the cross. There, if we will come and repent of our sins and receive Him as Savior and Lord, we will be forgiven. And we will be restored into fellowship with God forever and ever. In faith, I must receive Him. In faith, I must say, Lord Jesus, I cannot get along without You. Now, until you and I sense that need, friend, until we are thoroughly convinced that we are sinners, then there is no need of a Savior. And if Jesus is not your Savior, then He's not going to be your Lord, because there's no relationship. But once you and I have come to that place that we are assured our sins are forgiven and we are God's forever, there is one thing I believe we want even more than forgiveness. We want a new life. We want a life with Jesus as Lord, truly as a King, the one who will lead us away from the emptiness and the meaninglessness that we simply have when we live here doing nothing else but trying to satisfy our own appetites. But until then, why should we worry? We've got everything we want, don't we? We can be our own kings. And the worst that can happen to us is that some political enemy could enslave us. But when our eyes are open to see the spiritual captivity and the need of being set free as far as our soul is concerned, then we say, I want a Lord. And then there is no changing the tune. Or it doesn't mean that we will not sometimes move away from Him. It does not mean that we will not sin and go contrary to what He wants. But we always gravitate back to Him, first as our Savior, then as our Lord, first crying out, forgive me, Jesus, and then praying, O Holy Spirit, give me the power to follow that resurrected and risen Lord. Then and only then we want Him as the ruler of our lives. And what a difference that really, truly makes. Stop and think of it, friend. This is the day that we center our thoughts once more on the cross of Calvary. These are tough weeks that we live in, aren't they? They're filled with all kinds of burdens of one kind or another. We question ourselves and re-question ourselves to know if what we're doing is right. It is my prayer that this will be a week a spiritual awakening. A week in our nation where we can really let the Holy Spirit penetrate into our hearts, that we may see how sinful we are in spite of some of the nice things we do, that those sins may bring us to the foot of the cross, and there we may know what it is to hear Jesus say, "Your sins are forgiven." How important it is for us to have a spiritual awakening in America, where one day we do not say, "Blessed is our Lord," and cry out to God for help, and then when it's all over, to just go our own way, and to say, "Our crucify him, crucify him," not necessarily verbally, but even more meaningfully in the way that we live. Oh God, grant that in this Holy Week, the United States of America, the land that we love, may have a spiritual awakening. For then we will be strong. Grant, O God, we should pray, that there may be a spiritual awakening in our church. I think now not first of our congregation, but of the church. I think not of our denominations, but I think of the one holy apostolic church, that we may begin to understand what our real mission is, and that is to proclaim the sinfulness of man, the grace of God, and the love of Jesus Christ for this old world, that it may bellow forth from every pulpit, and that there may be no question in the church what our mission really is. And then that may pass from our denominational headquarters and our theological seminaries to the congregations, and that every Sunday, whether it be in the rural areas or in the great cathedrals, men and women may meet Christ. And then in our individual lives, in our lives where those who do not know Christ will be converted, and those who do know him will have a time of spiritual renewal. Then we will be able to celebrate next Sunday the glorious Easter service, that Jesus Christ was crucified, but he has been raised from the dead. Hallelujah, and may we never change our tune. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that this may be a week of real examination. Send your Holy Spirit to work through the Word of God, that we may see that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Help us, O God, to understand, we who sometimes can be so self-sufficient and even so arrogant that we think we know it all, that we are sinners, weak, and in need of a king. But help us to understand that Jesus can never be our king until first he is our Savior and has cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness. God, may it be a week that is filled with spiritual renewal. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's gospel message has brought you comfort and peace for the week ahead. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write, call, or email our office and tell us what station you listen to. This helps us know which radio stations are being heard. All listeners who respond will receive our book, A Collection of Christian Crusaders' 10 Most Requested Sermons of 2002. Please call or write this week to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Please call to share with us the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.